Welcome to the Modern Jewish Girl podcast. I'm Jenna, lawyer by training, writer and teacher at heart. I was a secular girl from New York who happened to be Jewish. Then a trip to Israel changed everything as I discovered the depth and relevance of the Torah for the first time. I created this podcast to share deep, beautiful Torah wisdom in an accessible way and explore how we can integrate this timeless wisdom into our modern lives. As a wife and mother with my own personal and spiritual struggles, I know how hard it can be to show up every day with joy, faith, inner peace, strength, and clarity. I share bits and pieces of my own journey in hopes that it will help you on yours. I really want to thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating, a review, and share the show with family and friends. Okay, here we go. Hi, welcome back. This week, I am excited to introduce Erica Needleman, who I know personally because she was the counselor on my first Israel trip way back in 2009. Erica is now a life coach who has taken her Jewish wisdom that she has learned along her amazing Jewish journey, which she shares, and other coaching techniques and things that have worked for her personally, and she's transformed them into this thriving coaching practice called Adultify with Erica. I love that title, Adultify, because I feel like in our generation, just being an adult can sometimes feel so heavy and so intense. So we unpack that a little bit and ways that it can feel lighter and it can feel easier. This is something that I personally struggle with a lot. So I was very excited to have this conversation, and I thought that it really had a place here on the podcast because so much of Erica's work is infused with Torah and our relationship with Hashem, with God, our relationship with ourselves. She really brings that into the work, and it's actually vital to the work that she does with her clients. And one of the things that I love about her work is that she really helps people to shift their perspective to love the life that they already have. It's not about having a better life. It's about loving what you already have, which is such a beautiful perspective. As our sages say, you know, who is rich? He who is happy with his lot. I thought this was also a really relevant conversation for Pesach because so much of the work of Pesach on a spiritual level, as we've spoken about, is really freeing ourselves from our personal limitations. Freeing ourselves from our bad behaviors, bad habits, things that are really just holding us back from being our best self. If that sounds like something you're interested in, you're in the right place. Just to give a little more bio on Erica, she is a life coach for women who loves to help her clients learn to love themselves and their lives, even if they aren't perfect or even close to it. She sees the connection between women's relationship with Hashem and their relationship with themselves and helps them work on the deeply practical as well as the emotional and spiritual aspects of their lives. She loves fusing modern coaching tools and techniques with the infinite well of wisdom that is the Torah. She's a mother of four, a doula, an amateur potter, and a Torah educator for Jewish Women's Connection of Atlanta. On a personal level, I'll just say that Erica is, and has been since I met her, a really awesome human being. Somebody that you just want to be around. Her positivity, her depth, she's super grounded, super real, has tons of wisdom, and it was really nice being able to reconnect and have this conversation. I really enjoyed it, and it really left me uplifted and inspired, and I hope you'll feel the same.
Okay, Erica, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I'm extremely excited to talk to you and for you to share your wisdom with listeners.
I am so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to be reunited with you after over a decade.
I know. Erica was the Madrichah, the counselor on my first trip to Israel in 2009, which it really seems like lifetimes ago now, but it was one of the best trips of my life. So I have very good memories.
It was very, very special. And you're a very special part of it. And just watching your trajectory and all of this growth and amazing things. Like, I was newly wearing skirts when I was your Madrichah. I was very new. I think I was like maybe a year in to being religious. And I remember you and all of your questions and all of your thoughtfulness. And it's just an incredible thing to witness.
Thank you so much. It's very fitting because the first question I was going to ask you is actually about your Jewish journey.
Okay. So in a nutshell, I tried everything. So I started off as a avid yogi. I got into yoga when I was 14, and I really connected with my yoga teacher. Her name was Janice. She was like a very wonderful teacher. And I just got into yoga philosophy and loved this feeling that I would get after yoga. I thought it was so inspiring, so beautiful, so relaxing. And there was a whole philosophy behind it, which I learned about over the coming years. And I was looking for inner peace, and I was also looking for a mentor. And so I found in her what I thought was that mentor. And then over time, I kind of realized, although she was a very lovely person, her teaching demeanor and her persona was not who she was at home. And I had this big red flag in my heart that just came so naturally of like, that's not what I'm going for. I want to be the same person in the classroom and at home. And so I went on my journey. I really thought it was going to be in yoga, and I looked to multiple yoga teachers and instructors, also professors in college, and just never got what I was looking for. So when I was 19, I decided I wanted to become a yoga teacher, and I decided to live on an ashram. And I lived on an ashram in New York State because my father wouldn't let me go to India. And but there's an ashram in New York State, and it is a filled with swamis who are these, ascetic Hindu priests, for lack of a better term. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, meditated, learned all of the Hindu philosophies, like what we call hashkafa. We learned, right? And I learned yoga. I learned to teach yoga. It was a beautiful experience. But I always say at the end of that months-long intensive, my back hurt and I did not yet feel enlightened. So I definitely had that feeling of, I love yoga. This is, a beautiful practice. But I also did a lot of idol worship because that's part of Hinduism.
Yes,
And
it
that
is.
was like, it was like a fun little thing that I was doing, but I didn't think I was actually praying to anyone or anything. And these statues that we were giving offerings to, like, it just, I had that inner feeling that like something is off here. So I went from the Dominican Republic to, oh, no, I went from New York to the Dominican Republic. I gave myself away. And I, because I had decided I wanted to do some volunteer work after I did my yoga teaching certification. And I land in the Dominican Republic, and they take me to the site where I'm doing my volunteer work. And all of a sudden, I was greeted by Christian missionaries.
Oh gosh.
And I was, unbeknownst to myself when I signed up, working on a Christian mission and volunteering for a Christian
Oh
mission.
my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was not what I was expecting. But being flexible and, being there and not having a trip ticket back, I was like, okay, let's do this, guys.
My
Right.
God.
So I was not obviously a missionary. They have a lot of missionaries who come and visit and do work. I don't know, there's a whole backstory to it, and I don't know how long I should go into it, but basically I was teaching English, and I was just like working with the kids, working with the women. It was a very beautiful program with really wonderful, like I call like hippie Christians. They were so cool, so warm, loving, fun, and they were like, we're brothers and sisters, you're Jewish, it's great,
They weren't trying to convert you.
so I think there were a few times where they might have tried. But what was so interesting was I ended up falling so in love with the work that they were doing with these incredible people, that I decided I wanted to stay longer. And I ended up having to move into the mission house with the missionaries. Like,
Oh
it
my
used to be that I
gosh.
was on this volunteer trip with these like kids from college, but then I actually moved in with the missionaries as the complete insane person that I was. And I remember them all kind of gathering around me as I was moving my stuff in. And they were like, but aren't you Jewish? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, so what do you believe about Jesus? And I was like, well, in Hinduism, they believe da 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 da, because I just come out of,
Right.
Hinduism school. So
So
I had
funny.
the Hindu answers, but I didn't really have the Jewish ones. And then they would push me and say, well, what do you believe about God? And what do you believe about the afterlife? And I was clueless, really, as to the Jewish answers. And it was the missionaries who kept pointing that out to me. Because I would say, well, in Hinduism, Jesus is considered a prophet and this and that, the other thing. And they would say, like, but you're Jewish.
So funny. It's always like the non-Jews who force us to confront our Judaism.
You know, it was an incredible gift they gave me because of them, I started really questioning and thinking, you know what? I am walking away passively from Judaism. It's not an active walking away. It's not, I know what Judaism has to offer me. I know this isn't what I want. I know that I want something else. I realized through their questioning that I had no idea what it was that Judaism believed. And so I decided, as the academic that I was, that I would study it in college. So I became a Jewish studies, religious studies major with a concentration in Jewish studies.
Okay.
And that was fascinating because I was in Arizona State, which was a very non-Jewish school, and there were tons of Mormons taking Jewish studies. I was one of the only Jews in Jewish
Wow.
studies. There were lots of Jewish professors, but almost no Jewish students.
Wow.
That was also just like another added level of interest. So I got into it that way. And because of all of these questions the missionaries were asking me, I decided, you know what? I need to know what it is to be a Jewish woman. So I had to write a thesis for college, and I decided I was going to write a play called, I like, of course, later I figured it out, I called We Are Eve. And this idea of choosing and this idea of maybe making bad choices, but hopefully eventually for good. And I learned a ton about the Adam and Eve story and about what that means for at least in an academic sense. And then I also did, I think, over 35 interviews of Jewish women of all Jewish backgrounds
Wow.
and talked to them about their Jewishness, their Jewish identity, their womanhood.
So cool.
Like, yeah. So
So how'd you go from Arizona State to Israel?
That's a great question. When I was writing my thesis, I decided I wanted to go and get a summer internship. I got an internship at Brandeis. They have a feminist think tank, a Jewish feminist think tank at
Nice.
Brandeis, not surprisingly.
Exactly.
And I got into the program to do more of my research and also to help an Israeli professor with her research. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. I met a really incredible group of Jewish women who were academics, feminists, empowered, awesome people. And we did Shabbos for the first time I had ever kept Shabbos because one of the instructors for the program was Modern Orthodox. So she invited us to her home. And she's like, she says, you know, turn off your phones and turn off your computers. And we're just going to have a Shabbos experience. And like, I was just floored that people turned off their phones ever.
And that was in, that was like over
Flip
10 years.
phones.
That was a long time. Yeah, that was flip
That was flip phones. That was before the advent. Like, that was even before BlackBerries. That's how long ago it was.
Wow,
Can you
that's
imagine?
incredible.
I feel ancient just saying it. But it was when you had to press like the one three times to get the letter C. Like, that's where we were in time. And I was already addicted to my phone even then, right? So I remember turning off my phone and just feeling this enormous sense of relief and excitement for like, what does my life look like without this thing ringing and beeping all the time, right? And so we did that. We had beautiful meals. They went around the table, asked everyone questions, talked about Torah, talked about life, and I was like, I'm in heaven.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Wow. The Shabbos experience is very powerful.
Yes, so those young ladies that were on doing the internship with me, they said, you don't know who you are as a Jew until you go to Israel.
So you ended up doing Birthright first, or you did a different program?
I did. I went through Mayanot, through Chabad. I had an amazing Chabad rabbi at my college who I absolutely was terrified of and literally ran in the other direction anytime he came towards me until I came back my senior year, all of a sudden keeping Shabbos. And I had nowhere else to go. And I was like,
Oh.
I walk into Chabad, and this sweet, wonderful man, Rabbi Shmuel Tichtel, his jaw drops to the floor seeing me walk into his Chabad center. He's
Couldn't
like,
believe it.
"What are you doing here? I've been trying to talk to you for the last 3 years,"
Oh my
you know?
gosh.
And I really felt at home there. We had like kind of like a Shabbos club kind of thing. And I kind of kept, kind of didn't, depending on the week. It was my last year of college. And I had basically only non-Jewish friends, except for my friends from Chabad. So it was very much like this interesting time of balancing and back and forth. And then I decided to go to Israel and just jumped right in.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing story. I'm so glad you shared that. Thank you. That was very beautiful. So I want to talk now about, obviously, it's been a bit of time since then. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got into coaching? Your coaching practice is called Adulting. Did I get
Yes.
I love
Yes.
that.
So it's called Adulting with Erica, which I love. The letters are awe, AWE, which I
Nice.
love because that
Nice.
is like an amazing Jewish word. We think like yira is fear, but really it's this idea of awe and having a sense of awe at our life, at the world, at the way that things play out for us. And so I don't do adulting in that I don't teach you how to pay your bills or balance a checkbook, because no one does that anyway anymore. What I do is the emotional adulting. I do all of the inner adulting stuff that we should have learned, but no one either knew about or knew how to teach. So I teach mindfulness, which definitely like harkens back to my yoga stuff, but I don't use any actual Hindu things. But I learned it originally as a Hindu practice, and then thankfully learned all of the Jewish ideas about it coming into Judaism. And
Right.
so I use a lot of Jewish and Torah sources as well to inform that. So I do that. I also do, one of my favorite things to do is emotional processing, which is a lot of the time either we resist emotions, we react to emotions, or we distract from emotions. So our phone is obviously the ultimate distractor. The resisting is when you have a feeling of like, oh, I'm scared, or oh, I'm stressed, thinking like, oh, I don't want to feel this way, I don't want to feel this way, right? And then the reacting is the outburst, is like the yelling, the being triggered, right? And so I teach not to do those three things and how to process in a healthy way. So that is like another pillar of what I do. I teach a lot about relationships, about seeing people in a different way, about seeing ourselves in different ways. And I even have a course called Adultify that is going to
That's
be
so
starting.
cool.
Yes. And it's a group course. So I do one-on-one coaching, which I love because it's so personalized and intimate. And then I also do group coaching, which is so beautiful because the best part is that after just one or two sessions, everyone comes back to me and says, "Oh my gosh, I thought it was just me. I thought I was the only one suffering or frustrated or overwhelmed or whatever it was." And having this group of women who are diverse in background and even a little bit in religiosity, and really saying like, oh my gosh, we all have so much similar stuff, even if it manifests differently, even if our lives look different, there's so many things that bring us together. And I teach tools. Like my whole thing is like, you only can use the tools that you have in your tool belt, and I give you more. And I can't make you use them, but I can give them to you and help you to use them. And that is so exciting. I had a woman, she was almost 50, and I work with women across the board age-wise. Like I have someone in her 20s, I have a bunch in their 30s, I have a bunch, you know, just all over. I've got a bunch of bubbies that I work with.
That's
It's
so cute.
amazing because we all need it. We all need it. And so this woman who I think she was almost 50 said that she had suffered from a lot of depression for most of her life. And I taught her the emotional processing, and she said it was the first time that she wasn't afraid of her brain anymore. that she's been walking around terrified of her brain. What am I going to think? And what spiral is that going to, throw me into? And then to be able to see the, to feel the feeling instead of react and resist and
Not
all
being
the.
pulled in by it, like to observe it almost like for in a conscious way. Wow. So, okay. That was really awesome. That was a lot. So I have a lot of questions. So you teach people mindfulness, you teach them emotional processing, and you give them tools to do that. You said that a lot of Jewish sources inform the work that you do. Can you speak a little more about that?
Right, for sure. I was thinking before, there are so many different sources, but I'll just give you one as an example. There is someone, his name is the Leshem. He is a Kabbalist, and no, I do not learn Kabbalah. But I have a friend who like was reading this sefer, and he told me what he read, and that's enough for me. And what he said, the Leshem says, is that there's bitachon and bitachon etzmi, and that they're deeply connected, which means bitachon is our trust in God and our action of trusting in God. And then bitachon etzmi is our self-concept, our self-confidence. So if we have confidence in Hashem, we also have confidence in ourselves, that they are deeply linked with one another. So a lot of what I see is that women who have an issues with loving themselves also have an issue with loving Hashem or allowing Hashem to love them.
Wow, that's really amazing. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and it really makes a lot of sense. Like they're so deeply connected.
This is really a culmination of all of my life's work in all of the different areas and culling, bringing in from all of these different
Different.
sources and all of these different lives that I've lived, right? I did a training course that I literally was like appalled that it was even a training course. And like that actually gave me the confidence to say, you know what? I like my life has been the course. And thank
Your life is
God, my life really has been the course. And just in the same way, like Tony Robbins does not have a coaching license, and the man is doing great.
he's the
So
ultimate.
it was one of those things where, like, I had to get that feeling of self-worth and self, like just that, like that I have what to give, and I don't need some sort of paper from some sort of place that says that I can. But at the same time, I have a tremendous amount that I pull from. There are tons of different coaches that I've learned from, worked with, and that plus Torah makes a very powerful coaching practice, because I think that's what a lot of people are missing, especially who are just Jewish. It doesn't even have to be religious, but for them to know that, like, the person that they're working with, that we're going to be talking about Hashem, and where does Hashem fit into this? And like, am I being connected to my ultimate self right now? And is this obstacle just here because life is random and hard? Or is this obstacle here because Hashem has literally placed me here with this in front of me because this is my homework? This is my job in this world. And being able to see our lives as divinely
Orchestrated.
orchestrated is so beyond powerful and empowering.
Yes, 100%. Because it's kind of relates back to the idea that you said earlier, which is like, if I have trust in God, then I have trust in myself. And if God put me in this situation, like by definition, I can get through it. Like he would not put me in it if I could not get through it. Okay, so I was going to ask if you have a favorite client success story.
For sure. I have a woman that, so what's cool about my coaching is that it's very much like me. It's very fluid. I'm not one of those people that says you have to sign up for 6 months, you have to pay this much now, you have to. I'm just so not that person. I am like, if you need one session, I am here for you. And if you need a year, I am here for you. And like, I will move myself to work for you, right? So I work, like, I guess in a way, like a therapist, in that I see people, like there's some people I work with weekly, and it's just a continuous flow, versus I have people who sign up for 10 sessions or 20 sessions, and they do a package and they get what they need, and then they are off to the races, right? Like my whole thing is that I don't want to be necessary. I want you to like fly free and for me to give you all of the resources that you need and for you to just go. And then there are other people who just need more contact and more support on a consistent basis. And I also love that. So I have someone that I've been working with for a while, and she took my Adultify course, and then she started working with me one-on-one. And she started off in a marriage that she was very unhappy in, and she was really thinking it was kind of over. And Baruch Hashem, she is now doing amazing, and she loves her husband. And the things that used to drive her crazy about him, she's learning to love.
My gosh, that's amazing.
It's like really beautiful. Like I can't even tell you, like the nachas, like right, like the just seeing her in action and like talking to her. The other week, she just came and she's like, "I'm so happy, and I really love him, and he hasn't changed very much."
She's changed. She's changed.
She's changed, and the way she sees him has changed, and the way that she perceives herself has changed, and all of that is that. My favorite thing to say is that you can have the exact same life and feel totally different about it.
Wow, very, very profound. I have a teacher, you definitely know her, Sarah. You'll have it regular. She has
Of course.
of course, yeah. I want to get her on this podcast too. I did the Kesher Wife Club with her for many years, and she would always say it only takes one person to change a marriage, and it's really very true, because your partner could be exactly the same, but if you are doing the work, the marriage, with one person does the work, the marriage changes. It just does.
Yes, it really
So
does.
that's amazing. That's a major shift. So I also wanted to ask you, because I love that your practice is called adulting, because we always, my husband and I always joke sometimes, like, adulting is so hardcore.
Yes.
And like, why is adulting so difficult for people? Is it because, like, we haven't worked through this stuff? Like, because everyone has stuff from growing up. Like, is it because we don't work through our stuff? Like, I don't know. I'm just curious what you find is like challenging for the people that you work with.
100%. So I believe there's a major lack of tools. That is, there's no, it's not a blame game. It's just like if you didn't get them, you didn't get them, you know, from whatever various sources and resources you have. And I mean, that's just why I'm here, because I feel like we need the gaps filled. And I don't know if it even like what I believe is that it starts with us. You know, whatever happened in past generations, there were some good things, there were some not great things. And I just feel like as a mother and as a daughter, right? Like I'm in a sandwich, right? My mother above me and my children below me, and like my relationship with them and my relationship with Hashem and my relationship with my husband. Like I'm in the center of all of it, right? And I have the ability to transform myself and therefore all of these relationships with tools and with using those tools. And then when we learn those tools, the best thing is that we teach them to those around us. I have so many examples, Baruch Hashem, from my life. I have a daughter who is older and so like pretty self-sufficient and got sick the other week and was like really wanting my time and attention for a whole week.
Oh gosh.
I like have stuff to do during school time, you know? And so there is this part of me that was just like, can you please just sit and read a book because I need to get work done, right? So like that part of me. And then she's like, Mommy, will you play this game with me? And I was like, fine, right? So I
I
was
know that
like,
feeling so well.
yeah. And then what was such a gift was there was a knock at the door. Right. So I go to the door, I deal with the person at the door. And then as I was at the door, as I was having the conversation with that person, which was maybe 60 seconds, something turned on in my brain that said, I have a choice. I can enjoy this time with my kid and I can have fun with her and I can be present, or I can be annoyed and frustrated and we can both leave this situation none the better at best. And so I went back with a big smile on my face and sat across from her. And she's like, what just happened to you? And I was like, well, I was like, what do you mean? And she said, you looked so upset before when we started playing. And now you're all happy and excited to be here. Like, what the heck? She didn't say that, but you know, like, what happened? And I said to her, I decided that I had the choice. I have a choice to have this time with you and enjoy it. And I decided that's what I'm going to do. And she looks at me and she's like, "You are so weird."
That's
Like, yeah,
so
you know
funny.
what? It may help me get in a good mood. So I guess it's a good thing to be weird, you know? And
Wow.
like, that's like a real teaching moment because
Yeah.
that is me in my process, growing, being imperfect, figuring it out, making a choice, moving forward. Like, that's growth right there.
Right, 100%. I had a similar situation also. My daughter was asking me to play a game with her, and I just really, for various reasons, did not want to play the game. One of them being I was just too tired. I was ready for her to go to bed. And I'm like, I know either way she's staying up for the next 10 minutes. Like you said, let me just sit and play one game with her. You know, like sometimes I feel bad because I feel like in this generation, like we're so on our phones and like I like don't want my kids growing up with thinking that I care more about what's on the phone than like spending time with them.
I would say it's the biggest challenge facing this generation of parents.
Yeah.
And I believe it's just like pure Yetzirah. Like, we've never had more free time that we get sucked into this phone. Like,
A
our
hundred.
laundry machines take care of the laundry, our dishwashers take care of the dishes. Like, you know, like we have all this stuff that's supposed to help us live like a faster, easier, like more focused or something, something, something life. And instead, we're all zoomed into these phones, like we're, you know,
Yep.
and it is a constant, I don't want to say battle because I
Yeah.
don't think it has to be a battle, but it is a constant avoda
Yeah.
of refocusing your attention on where it needs to be and also
Exactly.
having giving yourself grace
Yeah.
and just balance, like really, really
Yeah.
working on balance.
100%. Is there like another a piece of wisdom that we haven't spoken about that you've learned through your work, either personally or with clients, that you would like to share with that with listeners?
Just in terms of anyone dealing with any issue, any person, any problem, anything, the way that I like to change the way that I see things is that I think I may have alluded to this earlier, but to really just sort of spell it out, I always say that whatever is in front of you is not an obstacle to your happiness. It is the way. And when we can embrace whatever and whoever is in front of us and see that as like, this is my job right now in this world to deal with this instead of resisting it. So this is my actual tagline is I help women to stop resisting their lives so they can start living it.
Wow,
Right?
beautiful.
That this is what we need to learn to do is that the kid tantruming in front of us, the husband who's on the phone or, you know, or like saying these things or whatever it is, right? Like the boss who's a jerk, whatever is happening, is this is my job to figure out how to navigate this, not I would be so happy if this wasn't here.
100%. 100%. And once you like shift, that's a huge mindset shift. And really goes back to what we were saying about how there is a God and He puts things in our path for a reason. And like you said, the
Yeah.
points not to have them taken away or to be able to go around them, we have to go through them. And by going through them is actually how we become the people that we're meant to become. But like embracing it rather than like resisting it. And like you said, having the tools to know how to navigate it in the best way, like that's what's going to make adulting much better.
100%. You got it, my dear.
Erica, thank you. This was awesome. And
So fun, so wonderful. Thank you for sharing all of the wisdom and all of these incredible things that you're doing with your podcast and just bringing these incredible conversations to the masses. It's an
thank
awesome,
you.
awesome thing.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.